Hey everyone, how's it going? This is your host Damon, and this is my first episode of my brand new podcast of How Christ Changed Me. So, first of all, you clicking onto this podcast, we're obviously looking for a change in our life. Whoever you are, wherever you are, however old you are, we're looking for a change. And I'm here today to tell you guys that I was looking for that same change about a month and a half ago. Yes, only a month and a half ago, and I'm already starting this podcast. I felt like God was really telling me to put my voice out there, and I prayed about it, and here I am now. But my big thing today is we're going to be talking about what does change mean? So first of all, my name is Damon. I am 20 years old, and I am a newfound child of God. Started this journey a little under 2 months ago, and I've had a lot of change and a lot of weird experiences, a lot of tough experiences in the last 2 months, honestly. So I'm here today to talk to you guys about what my change has been, what it has looked like, what I'm going to be doing moving forward. But honestly, I'm here because I am a normal person who grew up in a non-religious household that had no idea what he was doing, who was trying to find God but had so many problems that went on within this world, within my own flesh. And I'm going to be talking about how you, if you're someone who is just like me, who is still like me, what you can do, what are some things that you can do to be turning your life around, to making you feel better as one, a person in your flesh on this earth, but number two, as a beloved child of God, to really worship the one person in your life, the one person that always looks out for you, the one person that's always there for you no matter what. And I never understood that, and now I'm starting to slowly get the concept and grasp a new understanding of how I'm supposed to feel on a daily basis, and it feels great. I would love to just share my story with you guys. So yeah, let's get started. First of all, I just want to pray over this session and this podcast, and for anyone out there listening, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to bless me, with your presence and your gifts and your continuous, ability to just make my prayers come true on a daily basis. Lord, you're so good, and Lord, I know you love me, and Lord, for the longest time, I did not show you how much I loved you, Lord, and I just want to say thank you for allowing me to have this education for this last month and a half, these 2 months of allowing to share my experience now, hopefully with other people who are listening, and maybe to help them too, Lord, but the amount of education and the amount of things that I've been able to soak in, Lord, from just the craziest 2 months of my life. And I'm just ready, Lord, to put this into action. And hopefully anyone out there who is listening to this can also relate and hopefully maybe start a change, flip that book open, or, you know, move on to that next chapter of life if they are hurting, or if they're worrying, or with anxiety, or we have anger, whatever their emotions are, Lord, I hope that you can just touch their heart today and allow them to feel your presence, Lord, and just be with them on every step of their new walk or their new journey, Lord, like I know that you are, Lord, and I hope that this audio, that this podcast that I'm giving brings them new light and that comes closer to you, Lord. Lord, I'm ready to serve for you, and I'm ready to serve for these people who are listening to me, and I'm just really hoping that one person that hopefully listens to this, I touch their heart, and they realize that they're in a place of hurt, and they don't need to be there anymore. One of my churches that I go to, one of their sayings is, they are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they want change, and that's honestly been like a crazy thing for me, Lord. And that's one of my biggest sayings now, and I can't wait to just shine, you know, my light that I know onto these people that are hopefully listening, Lord, that you're beloved children of God, and just allow them to have a better day than they did yesterday, Lord. But thank you, Lord, once again for giving me the ability to walk, talk, and live life, giving me the ability to feel, putting food and water on my table, Lord, and allowing me to be able to have a job, Lord. I just want to say thank you so much, and want to just say thank you to all the people who are listening, and I pray for them, and Lord, I know you'll bless them in every way possible, Lord, if they give themselves to you. But with all this, Lord, I just want to say thank you one more time. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perfect. So that was great. That made me feel amazing. So my first topic that I have is, what does it mean to change? So if we're looking at the literal definition of change, we're looking at the first being making someone or something different, alter, or modify. So basically, it's taking something and making it different, altering its shape, altering its actions, altering its form, its color, whatever that is, modifying it, making it new than what it was. Second, replacing something with something else, especially something of the same kind that is newer or better, substitute one thing for another. So I like that. With something with something else, changing it the same kind and make it newer or better. My big thing with change, though, is it's saying something newer or better. Change, hopefully, you know, from God, if you're going from a place of no God in your life, no religion, no belief, and you're going and you're stepping in the foot of God, or you're stepping in the belief of God, stepping in the belief of Christianity, that is going to be better for you. And I promise that if you give yourself up to, you know, the Lord, and He is going to bless you on every day that you keep going for, every day you pray for, He's gonna, those prayers will be answered and it'll be a blessing. And if they're not, that means it wasn't in His will, it wasn't your way, and He has something better for you. Like they always say, He closes one door for a new door to open. And that's exactly why I'm here. I got the door slammed in my face and I'm ready for it, that new door to be popping open. But like I said here, something of the same kind, newer or better. But change doesn't always have to be a good way, especially if we are leaning farther away from God. The biggest thing He says is, if you don't give your life up to Him and you continue to go in your own ways, you are living within your own flesh. You are living on a worldly manner. And if you continue to make your own decisions, you're going to continue to fall. Maybe not necessarily fail, but you're going to continue to not walk in His footsteps. And it's not going to be as well. He is patient. He's very patient with all of us. He gives a lot of grace. Meaning that if you're not giving yourself up to Him, He is going to allow you, and He's going to watch you continue to walk in that same path. Or maybe it's a slightly different path than what you were, what you thought was His. But it's not, because you didn't give, you know, your life up to Him. And it's basically Him waiting for you to do that. But He's going to keep on allowing you to make those mistakes. Because He is in your life, but He is not going to force you to do anything. Like I said, He is patient and He has grace. So that's the first thing. People who are looking for a change in their life and wanting God to bless them, the first thing you have to do is give yourself up to Him. Give your situations, give your problems, give your anxiety, give your anger up to Him, to allow Him to work in your life. Allow Him to open those doors. Allow Him to continue to bring in new people or a new job or a new opportunity in your life. Allow Him to do that. Because if you don't, you keep on trying to walk in your flesh, you are going to continue to fail. One of the people that I would consider one of my mentors, an older gentleman, that I look up to in my life, absolutely, he told me a couple weeks ago that whenever you're feeling lost or whenever you're feeling low, you you have what are called battle verses. That's you reading the Bible and you relating to a verse within the Bible that really speaks to you. And whenever you're having a bad day, whenever you're lost, you go back to these battle verses or these super important verses in your life. Those are like your foundation. That is your concrete in the ground. That's your foundation. And whenever you're not having a good day, you're not doing okay, you go and you look back at that foundation, at that battle verse, you know, because that's where God made you start. Okay. And look at where he's making you go. So one of my big, huge, huge battle verses that I look for, that actually I found new within my own life. One of my big battle verses that I have now is actually from Psalms 33. It is verse 16. It says, "No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength." You can take this literally, or you can take this within your own way. We're going to break this down. No king is saved by the size of his army. Basically, no king. So, no king being lowercase king, because he is not God. He is not our king. He is not our Lord. Lowercase king, saved by the size of his army. Basically saying a man or a person within the flesh on this world cannot be saved by the size of his army. It does not matter what you do, what you have, what you create. It doesn't matter if you have money, women, fancy things, a nice house. Does not matter. Whatever you have in your life, if you are not giving yourself up to God, you will not be saved when it comes to the hurt and comes to the struggle. Those are coping mechanisms. Those are quick fixes. That is not the way of God. Second part of it, no warrior escapes by his great strength. Another huge thing, we can look at it literally and we can look at it figuratively. No warrior escapes by his great strength. No warrior and great strength basically mean it does not matter what you throw at you, what someone throws at you, what the Lord throws at you, does not matter. You are not escaping on your own. Your great strength. We look at it literally. Imagine one man, doesn't matter how big he is, okay? If you continue to send hordes and hordes of people who are trying to attack him, eventually he is going to get tired, worn out, cut up, bleeding. He will slowly fall. No warrior escapes by his great strength. Doesn't matter who you are. Hercules. Doesn't matter how big you are. You are going to fall without the Lord. No warrior escapes by his great strength. This is one of my favorite, if not favorite, verses right now. Because of the sole fact that it continues to say no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. That is my big thing. When I first started this journey, I really thought that if I prayed, if I continued to, you know, do godly things, I put my hands up in quotations there, godly things, that everything was going to work out. If I continue to pursue, if I continue to want and need worldly things, that eventually I was going to, you know, run out. My strength was going to run out. My luck was going to eventually run out. And I tried to control, and I tried to, even for the longest time, try to manipulate situations to go my way, or, you know, have them favor me. But they were in my favor, and they weren't, one, in God's favor, or two, for everybody else. One of God's biggest things is when you're on this earth, if you are a Christian, and if you are, you know, if you're saying that you're a Christian, you serve your Lord. You know, you should be serving your Lord. And you should be doing things for God. You should be building your life around him. But at the same time, though, you should be serving others. You should be helping others. One of the best ways to do that, if you are lost and don't understand what that necessarily means, one of the biggest ways to start that, super simple, find a home church. Find a church that you feel like you belong, that you like, that is a Christian church that preaches and beloves the Bible. And you go there. I would say you get comfortable. Go there every Sunday. Sunday morning, whenever you go to Sunday morning. Sit there, listen. You know, I'm sure that church probably has, you know, maybe a meet the pastor afterwards, or has something to do with getting involved within the church. Go serve. You could go from greeting, if they have greeters. A lot of new churches have like a production team. So they do like the lights and the video and the audio when they do worship, and then the words up on the screen when they're doing, you know, doing the sermon and everything. They have totally different things. My church, they have so many different levels. They have their food kitchen, they have greeters, production teams, all different kinds of media. They help people to the seats, and they make sure that everybody, you know, is fitting in well. Everybody's not crammed in, all that kind of fun stuff. So I was actually able to start serving there. I've been going there for about a year now, and started serving there. And honestly, for the first time serving there, I was just a greeter. I was standing at the kids' door because, you know, we have a kids section, because, you know, some of the sermons get a little rough for, you know, young ears. It gets super personal, and a lot of people don't, you know, necessarily want a kid under the age of, you know, whatever it is, to necessarily hear those problems, especially when, you know, you're a mom or a dad who has a problem and you're trying to hide it from your kids. That's a huge thing. That's what a lot of people struggle. But getting off track, so you go to serve, at a church, and I served for one of the first times the other day, and I was a greeter who all I did was open the door for people and say good morning and how they were and try to give, you know, slight compliments every once in a while. And for such a small little thing, did it for about 45 minutes, such a small, minute thing that you do. First of all, you saying good morning, how's it going, how's your day, how's your morning, love the glasses, love the shirt, love the shoes. First of all, especially if somebody's having a bad day, it's great to see that smile on their face. You just brightened their day. You just made their day better. But also at the same time, though, it made my day better. We go through a lot in life, and seeing somebody else smile because of your words makes you feel better. Volunteering is the best way to help yourself recover through Christ, through God, through Christianity. It makes a lot of sense to me now. Making yourself serve your Lord instantly gives you the gratification that you're doing, one, the right thing, but number two, you're allowing yourself to go out there serving, you know, serving God, serving Jesus. And but you're also a good example for somebody else who might be having a bad day, even though you might be having a bad day as well. Maybe you're both having a bad day. Maybe both your guys' words are blending together. Maybe both of you just saved each other's day from just one smile, one interaction. And that's great. That's exactly what we need to be doing, because there is no reason you should be able to go through your struggle, go through this life by yourself, especially if you are feeling you are on your own. You shouldn't be on your own. No one's on your own, because you always will have God if you give yourself up to God. God's always going to be there. God's always going to be on your heart. He's always going to be listening. It's just you determine if you want him in your life. So that's the biggest thing. First of all, if you're listening to my podcast right now, if you're listening to this and you are having a bad day, you are lost, you are scared, you are sad, you are angry, you are mad, you are frustrated, whatever it is, if it's because of a breakup or a death or you just got fired or you got into a fight, or let's say you don't have enough money to pay your bills, whatever it is, first thing and foremost, sit down, take a second for yourself, and pray to our great Lord. First, that's the first thing you need to do. Pray. Ask God to come into your life and help you with your struggle and help you just relax. Ask him to take away your anxiety or anger or whatever you're feeling. Take it away. Now, once again, though, I heard a lot of people, and even myself, changing is scary. Changing is terrifying. I went on for years throughout high school and now through college of people telling me, you know, I don't think this is good, or I don't think this is a good idea, or whatever is going on in your life. And maybe those people are right, maybe those people are wrong. But the first thing you need to understand, change is going to be hard, it is going to be rough, it is going to be scary. I am terrified almost every single day. But it's going to be great for you. I am in such a place in my life, I'm such a season right now of hurt and lost. I'm so lost, I'm so scared, I'm terrified for what's in my future. Because I have prayers. I have a prayer, my biggest prayer right now, and this is the whole reason why I've changed, not for this person, you know, because I'm changing for myself. Another huge thing, changing for yourself. Always change for yourself and not for somebody else or for something. But it's okay to pray about it. It's okay to want a prayer out of it. It's okay to pray about something, even though you shouldn't be changing for something. And I had to learn that. But the biggest reason why I wanted to change is I noticed I was in a relationship for a little over a year. I think it was almost exactly 400 days. You know, it was what some people might call, you know, a silly little relationship coming out of high school when you're in college. But I was with this person for over 400 days. We had our little hiccups at the beginning. But I absolutely pursued her from the get-go. I was in a long relationship through high school. We had a falling out. We broke up, and I took a couple months. And we actually had a get-back together. Not the ex. We had a my advisory teacher, my homeroom teacher from my high school. We decided to have a lunch, kind of lunch get together, and there was four of her students, me, my buddy, and these two girls, and we were all decently close throughout high school. I mean, we had class together almost every single day, sophomore through senior year, but I had a girlfriend the entire time. But there was always this one girl in my class, and for some reason, I always adored being around her and always, you know, loved being in her presence, but I always couldn't do anything, so I always was in a relationship with somebody else. But I always told myself throughout high school that there was a reason for, you know, me wanting to keep on going to this class. Whenever I was stressed out, whenever I had a bad day, I just wanted to go to my homeroom, my advisory, and hang out with my people. And one of those people, you know, one of those persons that was in that class was this girl. And so I took a leap that day. It was January 1st of 2024, and I decided to take a leap, and I decided to go talk to her at the end of our little lunch. And I basically just told her, she told me she had a boyfriend a couple months before that when I tried reaching out, but I just told her how I felt. I told her that she was beautiful, that she was amazing, and that, you know, I wanted to be with her, but I know she had a boyfriend, and so I gave her space. A lot of things happened. We actually started talking a couple of days later because she realized that her current relationship wasn't working for her. We had a couple hiccups. I decided to break up with her about a month in, and I decided to try to figure out my life. And I wanted closure with my previous relationship, and I got what I wanted. And for some reason, I came back to her again, and she gave me the grace, and she gave me her time, and we got back together, and it was a great 400 days for me. I had a great 400 days, but for her, it was a little bit different of a story. She had a lot of days of hurt and anxiety from my own actions. Basically, I would lie, and I would be super selfish, and I had problems with lust and, you know, very, very adultery things. And overall, she got worried, and she got super anxious, and we had kind of this big fight after an event, and we had a falling out. And so that week after we broke up, I was really in a pit of just hurt and anxiety, and I really turned to my coping of spending money and, you know, watching lustful videos, and it was just getting really bad. And so I decided to go to church. And I don't know how smart of a decision this was, but it was actually the church that she went to. And eventually we saw each other and we had a good conversation the first day. And the thing she told me was, I want to see change. I don't want you to keep on telling me you're changing. I don't want you to manipulate me. I want you to change. And I'm not changing. I'm not doing this because she told me to, but I know it's the right thing to do. I don't want to continue to be the husband or the man in my, you know, within my own flesh that hurts women because of my actions, or has to grow up and lead a household that doesn't have, you know, God in the center of it, and that continues to have problems with maybe alcohol or drugs or lustful addictions or adultery or anything like that. And so I decided that I wanted to change. And that is what I've realized in the last month and a half, 2 months, is change is crazy. I have anxiety almost every day when it comes to me changing. I'm scared about losing my friends because of this, or having to cut off ties with family members or my activities or my hobbies. But it's so good because there is an end goal, and my end goal throughout all this, which is super personal, but my end goal is just to show this girl that I have, you know, deep love for, which is so crazy, because there are so many things I can get into about how I feel about her now compared to how I used to feel about her when we weren't even together. Guys, if you're listening to this right now and you have a problem when it comes to lusting over women, it's natural. It's a common thing, but it can be fixed. It can be fixed, and it should be fixed. No woman, no God fear, or yeah, God-fearing woman that you want in your life, because tell me this right now, a God-fearing woman who is naturally beautiful within her own skin is the best thing you can ever have. You are going to love her. You are going to want her. She's going to be so confident because she has God in her life, and I've realized this, and she is just going to be amazing. But I realized for the longest time that my problems really affected her, and I wanted to change, and I've been really battling because I really want her. But obviously I have to understand God has a plan for me, and if she's not in that plan, it's going to really suck, but I have to oblige by that. But we've had so many good conversations, and I feel like every time we talk, we just continue to glow. And I know we both love each other so dearly. And we're going to continue to fight, and we're going to continue to work until God tells us to stop. But I want to tell you guys this, for whoever is listening to me, is change is good, but it's going to be scary. I am a 20-year-old man who did not grow up in a religious household. I had, you know, there was always belief there, but we didn't go to church. And, I mean, I had grandparents every once in a while, but I grew up in a very non-religious household with a lot of problems. Nothing crazy, but very unreligious, common problems that really started to show when it comes to my own life, and I don't want to be that. I have a lot of issues when it comes to codependency now, or attention, and the lust came from because I thought it was a normal thing for all men to do that, but I realized it's not. It's not at all. And I just want to tell y'all that are listening to this, especially the men who are in a season of hurt, who are confused, you can change. The lust does go away, and you are able to get over this, and you can find someone that loves you for you, and you're going to find somebody, if this is what you want, to have a God-fearing, you know, marriage or relationship with another, with a significant other that believes in the same things you do, you can find somebody that is going to love you and love God. And that is the greatest thing ever, because it makes you realize that you don't have to do worldly things to be able to be happy. For the longest time, I thought I had to go out and drink and have fun with partying, to have fun. Honestly, me making this podcast right now, talking to anyone who wants to listen to me about God, about my relationship, and all these things, this is honestly, I'm smiling ear to ear right now because this is something crazy, because I feel God just over my body right now just to tell you guys that, like, you can change. And coming from someone who didn't want to change almost over a year ago to now, 1 year later, I am willing to change so much. I'm willing to jump every barrier. But I promise you guys, they are worth it. Every barrier, every cry, every anxiety attack, it is worth it. You're going to come out on the edge. I've been doing this now for 6 weeks. I have been fighting. I am not perfect. I am not anywhere close to being, you know, the golden example here. But I feel like I have been fighting, and I have been putting myself out there. And in 6 weeks, I've had so many prayers answered. It's not even crazy. It's not even real feeling. It's so crazy feeling, because I feel like I pray for something, and it continues to keep on coming true. And it's insane. It's crazy. And I'm just so grateful for all of it. But I wouldn't be able to do this without my Lord and Savior, you know, Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I'm taking another big step. In about a couple weeks, I'm going to go get baptized at my local church that I'm serving at. They're doing a baptism over there. And so I'm going to go get baptized. And I'm going to just continue to keep on fighting for what I believe in and what I love. And what I love is God, first of all. I love feeling secure and safe within myself because of God. And I love, and cherish this girl that I've been telling you guys about so much. And I'm, like, willing to bend over backwards, you know, to find a way back into her life, because she is great. She's everything, you know, I could ever ask for. And when we were together, we very much both fell to the lust of each other. And we did a lot of things before marriage, everything under the sun before marriage. You know, and obviously that feels great in the time being. But I'm to the point now where, like, I told her the other day, I love her so much, I don't even want to touch her. She is so cherishable, and she is so loved in my own heart that I don't even want to touch her. And I don't even want to, I just want to be next to her. I want to be within her presence. And I hope to anyone who's listening to this that wants also that, it is out there. You're going to find her. You just can't have mine. Joking. Kind of. Not really. But she's not mine. But I really hope one day she will be. I hope I get to call her my own again. But I just want to let everyone know who's out there, who is struggling, who is confused, or who is scared about their life or who they are. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 15, 20, 25, if you're 40, if you're 60 and you're listening to this and you're scared about what is, you know, what do you look like in 5 years, don't worry about that right now. Worry about today. Worry about day one. If you haven't found Christ yet, find him. Go to church. Go buy a Bible. Go buy a journal. Go buy a journal. That's another huge thing. Go buy a journal. Go buy a journal. Talk about your feelings. Men, it's okay to talk about your feelings. If someone tells you that you're a baby or that you're scared or you're not a man for talking about your feelings, they're wrong. They are wrong. Men, you should talk about your feelings. You want to know why? Because women love talking about their feelings. Women want to feel heard. They want to feel loved. The best way to do that is to talk about your guys' feelings together, relate, and help each other through life. Find yourself a partner that can help you through life. Being a man does not mean getting, you know, through life with your strength. Remember Psalms 33:16. Remember what it said, no king is saved by the size of his army, no warrior escapes by his great strength. Doesn't matter how much strength you have, doesn't matter how cool or how, you know, brute you think you are. If you don't have God, you're not getting through life. Your strength can't get you through this. Being a man is admitting that you have faults and admitting that you are not God and that you can't control every situation and that you are unable to figure everything out, and accepting God and leading your woman to God, leading her, showing her how to be, you know, one with God, how to put God at the center of your relationship, how to continue to fight for each other and for God. But being in each other's presence and loving each other, and if it's true love, God will keep you guys together and continue you guys to fight. Whatever you guys are going through, you guys will always have seasons. It's called marriage for a reason. There's going to be problems. You guys are going to probably, you know, you guys are going to have fights. You guys are going to have issues. It's called life. And the craziest thing that I heard the other day, and I've been repeating it to myself, however old you are, I'm 20. Guess what? I've never done the year 20 before. I've only been 20 once, and I'm only going to be 20 once. If you don't have it figured out, it's okay. You've only done it once, you know? They don't expect you to be able to play basketball the first time you pick up a basketball. That's what you practice, right? No one expects you to, you know, be the greatest singer from just the first time singing. You have to practice. Practice at life. Make your life worth something. Be better than who you were yesterday. Pray about it. Continue just to love God and love yourself. Be in the present. Don't worry about the past. Past is gone. Worry about the future. Worry about who you are right now in the present. Don't worry about the future. I think I said that wrong. Don't worry about the future. God has a future. God can fix the past. God will handle your future. You worry about today. Worry about the present. Worry about today. Worry about being a better person today. Worry about reading your Bible. Worry about praying. Worry about going to church. Worry about serving God. Worry about letting others into your life that allow you to be a better person. Worry about getting rid of people that aren't helping you. If they're not in the same season as you, if they're not in the same how you want to grow, doesn't get to cut them off and never see them ever again. But maybe you just need to take a break and allow them to find themselves and find, you know, get through their season. Maybe you guys can come back. That's where I'm at right now. Is I'm in a season of hurting and a season of trying to find a new me. And I just can't wait for me to find a new me and for my person to find a, you know, her new her. And we can come together and just be blessed by God and have a God-fearing marriage and God-fearing relationship and just live with each other together and happily. Because it's worth it, in my opinion. It's absolutely worth it. People who have God at the center of everything, they look happy. They're probably, you know, they're God-fearing, but they don't worry about anything else because they know God has their back. And isn't it great to constantly feel like you have a bodyguard around you 24/7 that always has your back? Yeah, that's God. And he does great, wonderful, amazing things. And he is going to continue to bless you and going to continue to help you through anything that you have, as long as you, you know, worship him and you pray for it. He does great things for you. And he is going to continue to, you know, bless you every day and get you through those hardships and open those doors. But from my first video or my first audio recording, my first podcast, I want to leave this as a note, as the last thing to say here is, who are you? What are you doing right now? What does your life look like? Do you have God? Are you God-fearing? And if you're not, why not? Would your life be better? Would it be worse? Because I couldn't imagine. But where are you at right now? How do you feel about everything? Is everything perfect? And if it's not, maybe change. Maybe find a new way. Maybe something's going wrong in your life. Maybe you can find a new way. And maybe that new way is God. And maybe you can continue just to be this simple person that gets through life. You know, maybe you're constantly unhappy. And maybe you're constantly angry. You know, but you could have had God. And you could have been able to, you know, have him fight for you. And him always be in your corner. And that's what he does. And there is always time to start. You know, if you feel like you're past this and it's too late, it's not. It's not at all. You can change today. You can start that change and you can continue to change however old you are, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your situation is. God will always have you. God will always continue to bless you. And so I just want to say thank you for all you listening to this. And I hope that this gave you some courage in your life from someone who is a month and a half into this and who is 20 years old, who is just trying to find himself. But I hope that this gave you encouragement to go out there, find God, find Christianity, and find a new way to love yourself and your situation. Thank you, guys. This is Damon on How Christ Changed Me. And I will see you guys next time. Peace.